Another week without a guest, so we settle some scores with comments we've made in the past. Is the craft beer bubble a myth? Who do we think has a chance to take it all for this year's March draftness? What are your bucket list breweries and why? And lastly, Nick wants to talk about last week's topic on Czech lagers and wants to add his commentary. Stay tuned for another episode of Better on Draft.
Whether your beer is in a bottle, can, or glass, kick back and relax. It's Better on Draft.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 313 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us on a Friday night, especially if you've been joining us for the past 7.5 years. We truly do appreciate each and every one of you. Let's go around and see what everybody is drinking, starting with Wendy. Wendy, what do you got over there?
Well, in honor of International Women's Day, I have the Drop Dead Diva from Supernatural. I was originally... a brew that we collaborated with them on, the Divas, Detroit Draft Divas did. So it's their coffee stout, not a stout, but whatever. Coffee ale, it's their white stout.
And for you, Daniel?
I have got a Alesmith Speedway Stout, starting off nice and hard. And of course, one of my Scottish export.
Have those come in cans before, or is that something new? Because I've always remembered them in bombers.
It's been in cans at least for quite a while, as long as I can remember. So, I guess.
I think we just got it here in Bombers.
Yeah, that maybe it's a distribution thing. We're only here in Michigan. We only get Bombers or big tall cans. For myself, I have got a Schlafly Kolsch, and I am going to be washing it down with one of the few cans that. Hit enough from Dan during episode 300, Flying Buffalo Salted Caramel Pecan from 2020.
He didn't crack them all?
He did not crack them all.
Yeah, I left a lot of the smaller cans in that.
So that was a great event. Go check out and listen to episode 300. Me, Dan, and Nick had a reminiscent episode with our guests from episode 200 and episode 100. That is Aaron Langtot, Eric Brigham, and John Pippenbrock, the famous John Pippenbrock. Everyone here in Metro Detroit, if you've been in the industry, does have a John Pippenbrock story. So maybe if you're bored and you want to type it in the chat tonight, go for it. But I want to start the discussion a little bit with you guys, as we've talked about this so many times on the show, almost ad nauseum, and I want to kind of cut it down once and for all. Now, I was doing some research, and if you go to Google, the first thing you come up with is in 2013, that's when everyone was kind of getting hectic about the craft beer bubble. We've talked about it on this show so many times. We're like, what's going to do it? Is it COVID that's going to do it? Is it seltzers? Is it hard sodas? We've talked about it last week. But I am here to say that I think there is no craft beer bubble. I think there is no way for, no way to kill it. There's still too many people out there and many new drinkers every single year looking for beer. Looking for different styles of beer, looking for different flavors and different flavor profiles. So I am here to state confidently that we do not and will not have a craft beer bubble while I am alive. I'll put that caveat on there. So
bold
at least
statement.
Got another 10 years in it. So I checked out videos, and this isn't even like just the United States. Like if you look in 2013, there's a lot of people in Australia and in Canada. If you just go to YouTube and you type in craft beer bubble, or you type it in Google and look up the news, you get CNBC articles, you get CBC articles over in Canada. Do you guys think, and I'll start off with this first question, very simple, there is anything that can kill craft beer, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years? And it might be something that could happen. It might be something that is happening now. It might be, you know, the return of macro. Like, what do you think could kill craft beer in the next 5 to 10 years?
I mean, Prohibition 2.0 could do it. Are you looking for a real answer? Or are you just looking for anything that could actually do it?
I agree.
A nuclear war could kill it off.
Let's go with, one, I don't think we're going to have prohibition here in the United States ever again. Of alcohol, I should say. We do have prohibition of plenty of other things, but of alcohol. But yeah, let's take out geopolitical reasons. Do you think there is anything that could, any product, any change, like, you know, the change in the world, like, as the world is getting a little bit healthier, more healthy options are starting to come out and fill that area. What could potentially hurt craft beer today or in the next 5-10 years? Like, what could be something that could really damage the industry of craft beer?
I mean, taking the ridiculous points aside that I made, still going that similar type of path, I think a bad recession could put a lot of these companies out of business. If that happens, you're not going to see bailouts like you did for COVID. So a lot of these are just going to end up going under and just be gone once that takes place, if it takes place ever.
That's not a... No, I don't think that's a ridiculous comment. I don't think that's out there or crazy or anything like that. I mean, when you look at 08, 09, when craft beer kind of was there, but there wasn't really any, like, I don't think we really saw, and I'll have to look because we do have the true numbers of open and closed breweries during that time. If there were a lot of breweries in Michigan or in the U.S. that closed at that time. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we were talking about it when COVID first started, and I thought we were going to lose half the breweries just like that because they couldn't hit a recession. But PPP loans were a lifeline for a lot of them.
Exactly. I don't think that would exist if all of a sudden, like an 08 type of recession hit. Now, don't take this the wrong way. That's most likely not going to happen. I know there's people out there screaming that we're already like years into one, but... honestly, if something that bad happened, people aren't going to be able to go to your local brewery. The bigger ones would survive. So, you know, the macros would survive. The bigger craft beer makers would survive. It's the local ones, I think, would end up going under.
Do you think, let's use the theory of recession for a minute. Do you think that breweries would go on a spending spree to attempt to pick up recipes, labels, brands, breweries themselves? Or do you kind of think these breweries are, you know, gone to the past?
Are you talking like breweries that are still surviving?
Yeah,
picking up the old ones?
Yeah, let's use a craft brewery that's big but not too big. Let's say New Holland. New Holland's, you know, near the top 50 of craft breweries. They're not to the size of Bell's or Founders, but they're still a decent size. They have their own distillery. They have multiple restaurants. Where would you sit? Well, first of all, where would you put New Holland on that side? Do you think they are a stayer or a seller or a dyer?
Well, New Holland's, aren't they the biggest independent brewer in Michigan?
Yes, they are.
If I'm not mistaken. I mean, they're on that side that would stick around. They're nationally distributed, at least for most part of the country. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Not even nationally distributed. They also have, they're so diverse in what they're offering.
Yeah,
I think
that's
true they
too.
They'll manage to survive no matter what because something is going to pick up the slack.
Yeah, but what I'm referring to are the breweries like, think about like the Northern Michigan ones, like Five Shores, something like that. Your small local brewery would probably go under if the money isn't there for people to spend. I could see a brewery like New Holland buying something if they have a recipe they think they could take nationwide. But I don't think if the money isn't coming in and it's lower for them too, they're not going to go on a spending spree and buy out breweries that are going under. They could hire the brewer from a place like that and make something similar.
Let's bring in Nick real quick because I want to see what he's drinking. Nick, what do you got? Nick, you're muted.
Come on, man.
It's 2023.
Yeah, I know. Three years. It's, you know, I learned something new today. It was 3 years to the date that the first American COVID case was reported. So,
oh, wow.
Food for thought. I am drinking a Fudgy Kruger from Big Lake.
Perfect. Now, I want to go back because Dan's got me in such a thought experiment right now. Like, what would happen? What's going on? And I want to continue and kind of bounce it off. But first, so these breweries go under. Obviously, there's two big components. You have the hardware. So you have all of this brewing hardware across the U.S. And you have employees. So you have employees that either are, you know, own recipes, whether it's their own, you know, these are their own recipes. You have all of this, you know, mash tuns and fermenters just sitting around. If these breweries were to close during a big recession, do you think there'd be a snapback as all of this equipment, storefront, and everything is readily available and probably on the cheap for someone who maybe wouldn't have gotten to be able to get into a brewery in 2023, but in 2028, we'll say, when the recession hits. We're not financial advisors, and I'm not saying there's a recession hitting in 2028, but this is just my thought experiment. Do you think there'd be a snapback, though?
I think so. Everything's cyclical like that. So things, you know, think about the mortgage industry. It's boom and bust. It goes up and down. Most industries are like that. So I think you'd see something similar where, you know, once that recession tapers off, you would see more businesses, including breweries, coming back, you know, not necessarily the old ones, but new ones opening up in their place.
Now, Nick, the commentary that I'm making right now is that I do not believe there is a craft beer bubble anymore. I do not believe that anything will kill the industry, and I tasked Dan and Wendy, which we'll get to Wendy here in a second, I tasked Dan and Wendy to come up with some things that could actually kill the industry. Because we have said the craft beer bubble is because there's too many breweries, because there's too many, you know, not enough tap handles, there's not enough shelf space, there's competition from seltzer and hard soda and now RTDs, and all of these things have come up against craft beer, and craft beer always seems to kind of bite back by adapting and doing things. But I want to bring it to Wendy before I bring it to you. Wendy, do you think there is anything that could, you know, I want you to change my mind, could kill the craft beer industry or pop a bubble or something like that?
I'm not going to be able to do it because I agree with you. One, I think craft beer fans are very resilient and they will do whatever they can to support the people in the industry. Yes, we might see some of the breweries disappear, unfortunately, but I don't think that that is necessarily going to be because they're bad at brewing. It might be just a business thing. I think all these things that get thrown at us, we figure it out. We figure out a way to diversify. Like when the seltzer thing started coming in, we started seeing more brewers do seltzers. The health thing come in, we're starting to see more brewers do NA beers and lower calorie beers. Like it's a versatile industry, and they just kind of roll with the punches. So I don't think that bubble is ever going to disappear. We might start to see other breweries start to go away, but I think in the long run, we'll also have breweries that pop up when those go away. I mean, look at how many we saw that opened during COVID.
Yeah, the COVID openings have been not even hit or miss. Like, all of them have been opening. All of them are still open. We didn't have any quick turnarounds of, like, open to close. Obviously, there are a couple breweries. I remember talking about a brewery, I believe Iron Bark, or is a brewery in Battle Creek that was going to open during COVID, and they had all their beer brewed, and their opening date was, like, April. Or May, and they had all this beer ready to go for a grand opening that they couldn't do, so they had to just sell it off a growler at a time. The ability to adapt and adjust within the industry is just too... We have asked a lot for them as a consumer, and they have adapted every single time.
Every time.
And you have all of these other breweries, like... Dan, what's the brewery that's opened up their brewery to contract brewing? Is that Pizza Port?
Oh, no, you're talking about the one I brought up here?
Yeah.
Sun Up. Or, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. You're talking about out in San Diego. That was the... Oh, my God. Was it the... Not the brewery. I'll think of it in a second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so being able to brew other people's beers, or if you look at what Sierra Nevada did recently, which is purchase a energy drink company. Like, they put... Not purchase, but put a huge investment into an energy drink company. So organizations like that that have a lot of space to fill, like a Shiner, like the amount of beer that comes out of Shiner, if they need to adapt to something, they have the ability to adapt to something else. But Nick, Dan says a recession... Wendy says she agrees with me. What are your thoughts on something that could actually kill the craft beer industry? Because I agree with Dan. I think a recession could do it. But other than that, I'm not really seeing anything else.
I agree with a recession. I'm trying to think of just, you know, what's currently happening or what we've covered on this show that's had impacts on the brewery industry. Let's talk about some of the most recent ones. We have the can shortage. That's one thing, but I don't know if that'll kill an industry. I think they'll struggle for a little bit, but I don't think that kills an industry. To Wendy and to, you know, all three of your point, the craft beer industry is extremely resilient to changes of anything that happens on the outside. And we've seen that, especially during the pandemic, where people were thinking outside of the box to not only generate revenue, but to sell more beer and get more beer out to the consumers. So I don't know if I don't think that'll do it. I think it'll put a wrench in the spokes, if you will. There's a CO2 shortage. There's that. But we've heard about it, and really hasn't a whole lot's come out of it since, not to my understanding. It's been kind of quiet there, so I don't know if that'll do it. I think, and I'm just spitballing here, I think the only thing that would, quote-unquote, kill the industry, or at least take a significant hit to it, would be some bigger breweries eating up the little folks, which... You don't even see a lot of those happening all that often either. When was the last time any of us out of the big brewers in the world, and I'm not just limiting it to the United States, in the world, open up to the whole globe. How many times do we hear about big breweries eating up the small guys? It comes up, but it doesn't come up very, very often. I just want to finish this point. By the time they eat up one of the little guys, 10 more open. That's how fast they open. And we saw that during a global health crisis. We had Loaded Dice. We had the one in Chesterfield that we had on, one of the very first ones we had.
Arctic Circle.
Thank you. Arctic Circle. And I know I'm missing a whole bunch of others, but those are the first two that come to mind right at the height of a global health crisis, and they came out of it just fine. And so that would be the only way that I would see killing an industry. But again, by the time one gets eaten up or two of them get eaten up, 10 to 20 more open. And we were seeing them open up all throughout the last 3 years now. And yeah, so I think recession is probably the only thing that would do it. But I do agree, when one does fall because of financials, I think others will open because they see it as an opportunity. When maybe they didn't have the capital to invest, now they have it because it's at a cheaper price. I see that happening. So what one person's spoils is another one's riches, I would say, or whatever the saying goes. So that's kind of what, so I kind of see both sides, but I think it'll take a lot to kill an industry.
Can I just say too, the craft beer industry, yes, we talk in, we've got the big ones like the New Hollands and the Bells and that size, but we also have your local craft beer pubs and the the Supernaturals, you know, the locals that you go to that aren't distributing, they are there to serve their community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what the heart of the craft beer industry is that it's your local pub that you're going to support the people that are there in your neighborhood. And those guys aren't going to go away. Unless they're doing something poorly with their business, they're probably not going to go away, because we're still going to go there and support them, because I would rather buy beer made by the guy down the street from me than from Anheuser-Busch or Miller. But well, that's just my opinion.
Here's where that comes into play with the recession. All of a sudden you're at a 10% or higher unemployment rate. It's not like you're going to go buy that beer. It's you can't afford to. Because all of a sudden you're out of a job with millions of other people where it's struggling to get a job. You don't have the money to spend on craft beer because you need to put the few funds you're getting towards, you know, your overhead, keeping your house up and running, keeping yourself in a home. That's what'll put those out of business.
I'd agree with that, Dan. I think there are a lot of local breweries that don't necessarily rely, that don't, for me say, that don't distribute, that soul, that don't rely on the locals to generate revenue. This is a weird example, and I'm not sure there's many examples like this, but when I was on vacation last week in the Keys, and two breweries that they don't distribute, at least they don't, not outside of Florida, I don't think, but I had beer from these two breweries, Florida Keys and Funky Buddha, and I wish they distributed to Michigan. And I would be willing to bet, because every tourist attraction that I went to in the Keys had both of these breweries of beer, these two breweries, and they were spotlighting them all the time. And I'm a tourist, so tourism might help that, might get through a recession very, very easily, especially if they don't distribute, at least not outside of their home state, maybe within the confines of the region at the very, very most. But, you know, I'm down all the way down in Key West at this point, and I see this beer, these two beers or these two breweries everywhere I went. Every place had either Funky Buddha or Florida Keys Brewing, either on bottle or on draft, at every bar or restaurant that I went to for eight, nine days straight. And we went to a lot of restaurants over the course of that time. So maybe you don't necessarily need to rely on the locals. If tourism is really, really big, yes, the recession, you might not see as much tourism, but I think that might be able to get people to ride through if they can't afford going on like a vacation or something like that.
So I don't know about the Keys Brewery, but the Funky Buddha is actually owned by Constellation Brands. They bought them out. I think it was 2010, 2015.
That I did not know.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah,
was
I guess
a,
so. Well, they got me.
How they get you.
I was there before.
They got me, man.
I was there before they sold, but.
They got me. I was hook, line, and sinker on their their wheat beer, the Floridian wheat beer, man. That was some good stuff.
We
actually, out of all the beers I had down there, it was not a single bad one the entire time.
If I'm not mistaken, however, during COVID or right before COVID through now, like the founders deal went to, you know, everything except for the 10% for the two owners. Bell's went to Lion, Atwater went to Molson Coors. So those three things happened during COVID to where I don't know if, well, we know why Bell sold, because Larry was ready to retire, which is perfectly fine. We kind of can guess why Founders sold. We can throw out theories of, you know, they were already down 30%, might as well get the rest. For Atwater, it's almost like Mark wanted to get out of Atwater anyways, so the Molson Coors buyout was perfectly ready to go because he's already on market for a CBD seltzer, I think. So there's a lot of reasons why these breweries sell other than the fact of just quote-unquote selling out. But with regard to the craft beer bubble, as we kind of wrap this up with a nice bow, I agree with Dan, but I don't even think a recession can take out something like this, because we had the CO2 shortage. We had so many products coming from Europe that couldn't get to the United States, albeit hops, be it grain or something like that, that we couldn't get to make specific beers. So we had issues there. The can shortage, all of that kind of happened all at once. And it was almost like a perfect storm to give them the opportunity to burst. But I think that we'll still see, just like any, you know, any phase of the restaurant industry, whether it's coffee, pizza, fine dining, breweries are going to open, breweries are going to fail. Breweries, I don't think any of these will fail to the level of restaurants, just because we don't see a lot of turnover as fast as, say, Shipwreck did. Shipwreck, I think, was like a speed run on how fast you could open and close.
That's poor management.
Yeah, but that was like 9 months. But that's my kind of thoughts and theories. As we're having a more relaxed episode today here in the Better on Draft world, Dan, what do you want to talk about today?
You know what we should actually talk about is, and I don't know if you're planning on talking about this later, let's talk about our little contest coming up here.
Ah, yes, March Draftness.
Yes.
I am not repping one of the contestants. I do have a nice brand new Redline Brewing shirt, compliments of Redline Brewing when I went there a week and a half ago. But yeah, we have the March Draftness, 64 breweries, meaderies, and cideries. This is, as I have to make sure I remind people when I talk about it, an opt-in competition. All breweries need to sign up for it. The reason for that is that we want to have a keg party at their brewery for the winter. And we can't just kind of show up and do it without permission from them.
Like, yo, let me buy a keg of beer.
Buy a keg of beer and then just give it away here.
Show up unannounced.
Exactly. So that's why there's only 64 allowed. All previous winners have been retired. So Copperhop, Baffin, and Brewery 424 are all retired. There's going to be something we're going to do with them later and in maybe a couple years, but stay tuned for that. But that's why there's only 64 breweries. That's why your favorite brewery probably didn't make it on the list. I already had, even with a long explanation, somebody on Reddit was just like, they read it after the fact. Like, where's Ascension? Where's Holmes? Where's Waxwings? Where I'm like, calm down.
Oh, boy.
He retracted his comment after he's like, oh, I commented and then I read. But yeah, so we have 64 coming in. We have Austin Brothers not in the bracket this year.
Biggest upset, I think. Disappointment, I should say.
They reached out and said that they wanted to pass this year, take a year off, and enjoy life, I guess. Retire for a minute, maybe come back next year. But we have 64 breweries. They're segregated into four geographical territories. And then they are ranked simply based on Facebook follows. Voting will start March 13th, but the bracket competition is up right now. Check the show notes for how to sign up the bracket competition. The person with the most points gets a $100 gift card to a brewery of their choice. Has to be one of the 64 breweries. And second, if you have the most picked wins and you don't win, you get a $100 gift card too, to a brewery of your choice of the 64. With that, the winning brewery will get a keg party, as we kind of mentioned, where we're going to show up, we're going to buy a keg, give out a beer of their choice, 144 pints, one pint at a time. What am I missing, Dan? I think that's everything. Oh, voting is a lot shorter this year.
Yes,
3 days.
Great part about that.
3 days, yes. Per round instead of six.
No, you covered it all. The reason I wanted to talk about this, I don't know about you guys, I'm actually kind of excited about it this year. There is not the dominant brewery you can pick out. And if anyone listening to this has an issue with anything I say, remember, it's my opinion. You can always message me directly if you have an issue with my opinion about that. You don't have to go cry to the teacher.
Damn.
Anyways,
you're about saying, to shoot some fudge. I need to turn the record. I mean, the record button is on, but I don't have the mute button. Saying, I don't have a mute button anymore.
I'm easy to find. My opinions are my own, but you know, I am kind of disappointed that Austin Brothers are not in. I really did have them pegged to win this year if they were.
I'm really curious to what everyone's opinions are. And again, these are our opinions. What do you guys see shaking out in this contest? I'll tell you what I think. I really think this might be the year Odd Side actually pulls it off. With them being in the North, I think they're almost a lock to come out of that division. Who knows? We saw what Hopside did last year, making it up until they ran into Austin Brothers. But there's not a lot of other competition in there. I think that's going to put them in the final four and put them through to the win.
There are two things that are important to these breweries. One is, you know, commenting, posting on their website, hey, you know, go vote here. This is how you vote. Explaining to people how to vote, because after doing this for 6 years, people still don't understand how to do the voting. We will have a video explaining everything on each post too.
Instructions, like video instructions on how to actually do this.
It actually got viewed a couple thousand times last year. So,
all right,
it was
a standard work instruction.
I showed how to do it on a phone, how to do it on a computer.
Did you show how to do it on Android and iPhone?
Android, because it's the same, I think. I don't know.
Right. What about BlackBerry? Did you have BlackBerry instructions?
No, but I did have a Blackjack. If you ever used the old Blackjack cell phone.
I thought you were talking about the old Magic Jack for a second, if you remember that.
I remember that.
I don't, and I used to sell cell phones, so... now the North region, as I'm looking up the bracket right now, the North region, I think you are right that Odd Side is going to have a pretty, but a pretty straightforward walk into the area itself. I think there's going to be one person or one brewery in that, that will be tough, and you're going to look at me strange. I think Barrel and Beam will be one of the harder competitors for that North region. The reason I say that is that they have a handful of salespeople who are on their team who are already well-known within the craft beer community, have a following themselves prior to even joining the sales team, to where I think they can rally the troops on top of just posting for Barrel and Beam.
I guess it really is depending on how into these breweries are into this and trying to get the win. I mean, I guess if Odd Side didn't put anything behind it and just was in this, I mean, they went out pretty early last year, if I remember. So who knows? Like, they're going against Hopside. We saw Hopside rally the Northern Michigan people.
Yeah, they
make it to the Elite Eight.
They eked out Right Brain that one year.
Yeah.
Which was the year they were able to, well, the first year, but the year they were able to truly kind of make a good run for it. I do see Barrel and Beam in there, but you're right. It's all based on how brewers want to do it. And there's so many more competitions too out there. Like, we're not the only bracket brewery competition, and your timeline's going to get flooded as it has already probably with the Hop Passport bracket. I'm sure, you know, if Detroit Free Press does a bracket again this year, they're going to have one. Maybe the MI Brew Trail has one. Like, we're not going to be the only one. But that's why I think a lot of people still do really well within our brackets in March Draftness is because it's all opt-in. We don't just throw you in there and hope you share it. Like, they all know what's going on. They all know when the, you know, each round is. They all know how it goes. So that's my thought. Like, from that North region, I think Barrel and Beam and Odd Side will be, you know, one of the two. I think the not the dark horse, because I think Ogma is going to be the force to mess with throughout the entire bracket itself.
I didn't look at the breakdown, so I don't know, because Ogma, I think, is going to come out of that Southwest. I think that's the one they're in, unless I'm looking at it.
for people who are looking at this, listening to this, is there a place that they can go to look at those brackets, not on the Facebook?
If you go to our Instagram page, you'll see all of the first round and the each individual territory's first round. So you'll be able to see what they're up against on our Instagram, on our Facebook, on our Twitter. That's all at Better on Draft, as well as if you go to our challenge site, if you want to do the bracket prediction, that's going to be in the show notes below, but that's challenge, challonge.com/MarchDraftness2023. And you'll be able to get our bracket, fill it out for a chance to win. So that's where you're able to see all of this. I think Ogma is going to be the force to mess with, especially in that top bracket where, you know, the 32 breweries are. I think in the bottom 32, like, I see a finals of I think it's going to be Ogma versus Oddside.
I'd have to look at who Ogma would go against in the final four. I don't have the bracket up in front of me. Which division would they face off against?
So Ogma in the final four would face off against the East region.
So the Detroit area, east side of Detroit and the...
I call it like the I-75 area because it's kind of got like Detroit up to I-75 to Flint, Redwood, Tenacity is up in there.
The one that'll really, you know, that could actually put a damper in all that, you know, if B Nectar's behind this, I think they have a good shot of knocking off Ogma if they meet up in the final four.
Speaking of which, B Nectar will be on our show on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, to chat about their new beer program since they purchased the WAB beer brewing hardware. That's the word I was looking for.
The dark horse in that Eastern one, too. I don't know how much he's getting behind it, but if Unexpected puts something behind this, if it's based off of beer, the guy makes the best stouts in the country, or one of the best, some of the best stouts in the country. Definitely deserves to be up there.
I feel like the finals of the East bracket is going to be Arctic Circle versus Loaded Dice.
Wow. They're going to be the ones with the social media presence, most likely, to pull it off.
That's what it takes.
As Wendy says, that's what it takes. And they are both on their game when it comes to social media, between both personal and business pages. Both of them, they have a lot of fun with it, too. So that could be one of those brackets. Like, if it gets to the finals, we could easily see, like, a multi-thousand vote total just for those two going after each other. And they'll probably have side bets going on too between those two. But
that would make it a lot of fun.
I see Loaded Dice getting out of that bracket personally.
As the winners?
Yeah, as the winners. Final four. To the final four. They'll load up against Ogma. And I think that'll be another big fight too. But I think the other side on the final four is going to be, as I said, Oddside. And looking at that other area, it's going to be, if they can get behind it social media wise, Broadleaf.
They're in every contest. They're always so up there. Yeah.
Their beer is so good, but I don't ever see anything about them on social media, which that is 100% the way to win this type of thing, is to get your people behind you, and you have to be on social media, you have to make a presence known, and you have to get your fans to support you.
Yep. You have to get them to share, you have to get them to also share, like, not just how ours. To vote.
Not just ours, any of these. Yep. That's the way it works.
I will say this now, I'm going to put everything I can behind Alpha Michigan Brewing Company. Because just simply because it's the farthest away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
did Barrel and Beam's not a bad choice either when it comes to that.
I did my damnedest to reach out to UP breweries, even like Whiskey Point over in, what's that island over in the northwest part of Michigan? I reached out
Isle
to
Royal.
Great Turtle over on Mackinac Island. Like, I was like, let's get some UP visibility up here instead of just being so heavy. Cause like the north of our category has like Oddside in it. Like, Oddside's in the north. So
yeah, the way I saw that shakedown was like, oh man, they're just going to run through that, unfortunately, simply because it's possible there's not enough people that follow these other breweries. For years, I had been reaching out to Brickside to try and get them in, and they never respond. Have you been there?
Yes.
Man, that's somewhere I'd love to. It's just way too far away. It's like, who the hell can get up there?
For a Michigan Brewers Guild Fall Beer Festival in the UP, I went and hit every brewery that was open in the UP at the time. There's like four open now, and like three of them have closed. But yeah, that was damn good beer.
I'm excited. We're taking, I plan on taking a week, like a working week up in the UP, where we just drive up there, work from our hotels because we can do remote work, and then hit a bunch of breweries right before the beer festival on Saturday and drive home on Sunday. So
it's a fantastic trip.
Not a bad idea.
So awesome.
September in the UP,
it's my favorite beer festival in the entire state. It's such a good time.
Well, Dan, this was your topic. Anything else you want to bring up or talk about?
Yeah, let's hear who everyone thinks is going to pull this off. We heard from you, Ken. Wendy, what about you? Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, right now I have to say Agma 2 because that's the name that is on everybody's lips right now.
Agma?
Yeah,
they're going to be up there if they don't actually win it.
The Arctic Circle and the Loaded Dice thing, that's a definitely... Those names are also out there, but yeah, everybody I know is talking about Agma right now.
And what about you, Nick?
I'm going to name two that I think have the chances. These are probably bold ass predictions, if anything. I'm going to say either Downey seems to have a really good social media following. And they've always seemed to be very, very consistent. And I'm going to throw out Loaded Dice Brewing.
All right.
I think that both of those breweries have a very, very strong social media following. I think they both can push it. I see, you know, Loaded Dice is constantly pushing Manchester United matches. Heck, if you get the people, just those people right there, that's probably close to 100, 200 upvotes right there for Loaded Dice without even tapping to the rest of their regulars, just by getting their Manchester United fans to go and vote.
That'll be interesting. I'm pretty excited about it.
Me too. Voting starts on March 13th at 7 p.m. That's when the challenge bracket closes. It does not cost anything to get into the challenge bracket. So go ahead, take a shot. The worst that can happen is you don't win anything and that's it. But the best that can happen, you can get a $100 gift card to a brewery, a Michigan brewery. So I implore you to go test your luck. Wendy, what did you want to talk about today?
Well, I'm just curious because I actually have the opportunity to hit one of my bucket list breweries next week. I am going to finally make the trip to Toppling Goliath. It's only 9 hours by car, and I'm going to be in the area, so why not?
Only 9 hours.
Only 9 hours by car. but I am going to go to Decorah and go to all the different breweries there. So I'm just wondering... I know that some of us like to travel and we've gone to a bunch of different places lately, but what are one of the bucket list breweries that you've been to? One, either that you really want to go to still, or two, that you have been to and it was either amazing or not.
Well, let's not throw any mud on anywhere. So
that's true.
We'll go with
the place sucks.
So I've got one that I think a lot of people would put a stamp of second on it. I want to go to the Coors facility over in Golden, Colorado.
And the Coors facility?
Yeah. Yeah, go check out the huge Coors facility. I'm there to see the production, not necessarily the beer itself. Like, I want to see, kind of like the brewery tour we got at Shiner. Shiner makes great beer, but, you know, what was awesome was that tour that we were on, where we kind of got to see the history of Shiner, and we got to see all the neat things that they do to make Shiner beer and distro Shiner beer to the, you know, to the whole United States. So, Golden, Colorado, Coors facility for sure. The other bucket list or something that I want to go see, and that's because I've never had the actual chance to go brewery hopping in Florida, but I want to go to Funky Buddha to get my I'm so excited, I'm so scared bottles from the people who make it. And I mean, like, Cigar City's Hunafu Day might be up there too. But that's definitely the two that I want to go to that I've never been to.
I was this close to going to the Golden Coors Tour when I was there last year, and they had an employee event, so they canceled the tours. I'm still very disappointed about it. But Dan, what about you?
So the biggest ones I have been to as far as my bucket list, number one was Bottle Logic. Absolutely amazing. If you ever get a chance to go out there to do it, you need to. The ones I want to go to are, one I should say specifically, is Snake River up in Wyoming. Got to meet them, got to try their beer at the Craft Beer Festival, or Craft Beer Fest, the GABF is what we were at. My wife's been bugging me. She's like, you really should go to Jackson Hole and check it out. I'm like, why would I go there? She's like, go try their beer. See if they're good. That'll convince you to go. Well, sure as shit, they had one of the best stouts I've ever tried. So definitely get up to there in Jackson Hole and check that out, because otherwise I'd probably never go to Wyoming otherwise. And I hear it's kind of nice. So I do want to check it out.
Nick, what about you?
You guys are going to think I'm batshit crazy when I say this.
We already do.
Well, besides that, because the only brewery I've been to recently was Sherwood right down the street. And that was probably pushing close to maybe a year now. I would love to finally get to, and I don't care if it's the one in Detroit or the one in Kazoo, I would love to finally go experience the Beer Exchange. It's not a brewery, but a brew pub, or just a bar. I have not gone yet. I don't know why.
I get that.
I know. You just never actually think about it when you're actually thinking about doing something like that.
And that's the thing. You know, I think we get so comfortable going to the places that are so close to us. And, you know, with me, with a 2-year-old now, I don't like to be too far away from him, even though he loves to be away from me all the time.
Take him with you.
Oh, yeah. That'll fly. Anyway, we get so comfortable going to the same places over and over again. And then you're like, oh, well, it's all the way downtown. It's 45 minutes. It's like, it's too much of a hassle.
That's because you live in like the Arctic Circle. That's
Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
He gets
free parking over at the Z, and he still won't do it. And it's right around the corner.
I know, right?
Like, you can go get free parking, not have to potentially get a $45 parking ticket.
No, and, man. I don't even park at the Z. I park where
that's if you get the ticket and don't get towed.
Yeah.
Seriously tow for instead of just giving you a ticket and leaving now?
Depends on how long you're there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It depends. Yeah.
There was over in the Lafayette Park area, a Sesame Street showing, like it was a special thing that they were doing over by the water. So everyone at my old apartment was parking, but they all parked on the wrong side of the road. And it's like very obvious it's the wrong side of the road. And I saw, looking out my window, just tow truck after tow truck after tow truck after tow truck. And I'm like, these are people with like 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds.
So shady.
Oh no. And that's if it ends while the lot is still open, and they got to go pay like $250, $300 to get it out. Like, oh, I felt so bad for those people. But
it's a bad day.
I drove up and they were already parked there, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing I could do to tell them to not park there anymore.
They're like, you know what? If it happens, it happens. But then they're all pissed off when it does happen.
Yeah, there's that's basically everyone that goes to Wayne State and parks at Uni Foods.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I remember those. I personally have never done it, but I've seen a lot of people park there. And
I worked at Uni Foods a few times because they used to have a Flagstar Bank inside there. And yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
the amount of people, like, they're ready to tell you if you go park over there.
Mm-hmm. So that's why it's always best to go get your produce there, then go to class. Make sure it's in the wintertime, of course, because that way it stays cold.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have that problem.
Anyway. Nick, did you have? Oh, go on, Wendy.
Oh no, I was just gonna say. So I have just a couple. I have a very long list of bucket list breweries to go to.
You have a list of bucket lists.
I have a list of bucket lists.
It's a plethora of lists.
There's a very long list of breweries that I would like to go to, but so I am hitting Toppling Goliath next week, and Trogues and Russian River, I think, are the two at the top of my list.
Russian River out of all choices.
Give a little shout out to Toppling Goliath, by the way, because they're setting you up with a tour, I think.
Yeah. Yep. They're going to hook me up. Eric was on our show. What was it? Two
years ago,
28 or something like that.
Oh
yeah. In 2020, he was on the show and he's going to show me around. I'm really excited.
Perfect. Well, we got a few more minutes before we take our break. Nick, is there a topic you wanted to bring up real quick?
Have you guys been seeing, I mean, I know we talked about it, about beer trends in 2023, but this is one that I see every time I'm on Facebook. I see more and more and more of this one style just popping up. And we do know that lagers are on the rise again. The Czech style lager. Have you guys been seeing a lot of this stuff popping up in social media a lot more?
Nick.
What?
Nick, I love you so much, like a brother. I do.
What I do?
But we talked about this last week on the show.
No, I know. But this is. But we're seeing it more and more frequently.
We are. I 100% agree.
I'm sorry if I'm not as connected to the beer stuff as you guys are anymore. My apologies. Sue me.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if you work enough hours here on the show to.
Well, when I'm not working restoring customers' power.
I know you've been busy as all hell with
DTE. And on vacation.
DTE and vacation. Yeah, you went at the perfect time.
Yeah, you pulled a Ted Cruz and headed down to Key West.
I did pull a Ted Cruz.
No, I'm just razzing you. Yes, the Czech style dark lagers are getting all over the every shelf that I see. I was drinking Table Talk last week from Arbor Brewing Company, and I cashed that six pack so fast that I need to go buy another one. But yeah, those dark lagers are so good. We saw it. I think I want to say I saw it like begin when Brew Detroit did theirs, where they did a Cerveza Del Rey, but it was Del Rey. I don't remember. Oscula or whatever. Oscura. I don't speak Spanish.
Oscura.
So yeah, that when they did it, that's when I kind of like started to see the trend. But yeah, I love those dark lagers, those Czech style lagers. Dan, I think you're a fan of those too, aren't you?
Yeah, I remember. I didn't know what they were at the time. You mentioned it when we were at GABF. You were at the porch drinking thing and you're like, they have all these Czech style lagers. I'm like, the hell is that?
Oh,
but yeah, that's,
yeah, these weren't even like dark lagers. They were though that house that the porch drinking festival was on at GABF. I'm trying to think of the name of the brewery, but those beers were so good too, so clean, so crisp. They were almost labeled just simply based on gravity, like whatever the gravity of the beer was, that was the name you gave. Kind of like that cream ale house we went to, Dan, where, you know, there was 10 cream ales.
Oh, but Huddle.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, all right, do you want the tequila based cream ale or the rum barrel aged cream ale?
I made fun of it till we tried them. Those are some amazing beers that they make there. But yeah, especially like the black ales, the dark lagers, that sort of thing. Yeah, I actually do enjoy those.
It makes me want to go to Wolverine again. to see what they got over there. Because obviously Wolverine's Lager House is just such a killer brewery over there. And speaking of lagers, now I need to go see if Travis makes one over at Old Nation, because obviously he tricks magic with lagers too, and they've been doing a lot. They went to a beer festival and brought zero IPAs.
Wow.
You know, the home of M43 brought zero IPAs to a beer festival. They brought...
I'd do the same thing.
Rubicon, they brought Detroit Dwarf, and two other things.
I'd absolutely do that same thing. I'd be like, try something different.
Old Nation does have a Czech lager called the Dark Czech Lager.
I will have to talk to Jonathan Cole and see if I can get a couple cans or a couple growlers here, or maybe even a keg. That brown ale from Wax Wings that I was waxing poetic last week, I texted the owner and brewer, and I'm like, do you have a keg of this? Because I'll go pick it up right now. Like, I will go drive to Kalamazoo and pick this up. He said no, but the next time that he brews it, he will brew it with me in mind to make sure he puts a keg aside for me.
Nice.
But what about you, Nick? I mean, have you been drinking any? Have you been trying any? Or you just been seeing them?
I've just been seeing it more out and about. And when you're waiting for customers' power to be restored and you have a lot of, when you do have that downtime, that's where I'm seeing it. It's popping up on, Facebook and all the other social medias. That's where I'm starting to see it more and more. More and more people just talking about it, buzzing about it. So the trend is right. It's just, I did not see it as frequent before. Now we're seeing it almost in droves, it feels like. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the different groups that you guys are. I don't know.
Maybe it'll finally overtake IPAs. I'd be all right with that.
I think I would be okay with that too. but Dan, I think both you and I think Ken and Wendy know that that'll never ever happen.
Dan.
No, I mean, honestly, I mean, think about it. I mean,
I think you have a better chance of World War III starting before the IPA is getting taken over.
I mean, this is not a political show, but I'd be willing to stake some money on that too.
Look at Juice Force, the one before
Juice Robinson,
not Juice Robinson,
Juice Robinson.
It's the
CJ Parker,
the Voodoo Ranger beer, the juicy Voodoo Ranger that came out and became almost a top 10 craft beer over the past year. Like, that, there's no stopping. I have admitted defeat. There is no stopping these IPAs.
They'll just come up with a different version of IPA that is similar to a lager.
Always.
Let's be honest. No, the cold IPA.
All we have to do is call it an IPA and people will drink it.
I want an alt IPA. Let's go. Alt IPA.
My stout
IPA. Stout IPAs.
That is episode...
Yeah,
I'll go on, Dan.
Remember Hop Stout from... when we first started the show.
Oh my God.
Jesus, the maker of Fat Tire. I can't think
New
of
New Belgium.
New Belgium, yeah. There you go. There's your stout IPA.
That is going to do it. Episode 313. If you're listening live, which we are live 7:15 p.m. Eastern, Friday nights, twitch.tv/betteronDraft, facebook.com/betteronDraft. Join us in the chat, just like we had in the chat on Twitch today. We had a couple people join, a couple people follow. We appreciate you guys listening, following, subscribing. It helps us immensely. Go find us on all of our social medias, especially Facebook, folks. That's where March Draftness is going to be voting on. Facebook.com/betteronDraft. Voting starts at 7 p.m. That's when the votes or the photos start posting for you to vote on them. That is going to do it. If you're listening live again, stay tuned. We got the news segment right after this. If you're listening via the podcast, the news segment will get released Monday at 7 a.m. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Betteron Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.